Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining me. How are you doing? Jane Hamill, Fashion Brain Academy, and thanks for coming, podcast episode number 6. Today, we are talking about mistakes, specifically the 3 biggest mistakes that I have made as a fashion designer. I really could call this my biggest 300 mistakes, my 3,000 biggest mistakes, because there are that many, honestly, over all the years. So if this goes well, I'm seriously thinking of doing a series of these, like my biggest mistakes as a designer regarding picking out fabrics, regarding managing people, regarding running my retail store, my 3 biggest mistakes for marketing, for selling, for life. I don't know. There's just, it could go on and on. So I'm going to have fun with this today, and I hope you learn something. All right, let's dive in. Number one, one of my biggest mistakes. And, you know, for those of you who don't know my story, I'll just touch on that. I won't go into it too deep. But when I was 25 years old, I opened up a retail store and started a clothing line at the same time. I designed pretty much everything in the shop, like pretty much 100% of the clothes, and then my sister was the buyer for the jewelry. About 2 months into it, I was approached by a buyer from Marshall Fields, which is now Macy's, came into the store and asked, you know, to see the line. So I ended up starting to sell wholesale within about 6 months of opening up my store. I was 25 years old when I did it. I bootstrapped everything. I do have a degree in fashion design, a BFA in fashion design from FIT in New York. So I did have a design background, but I certainly didn't have much of a business background, and I had no retail background, which was interesting, to say the least. But that's just a little about me. I'll go deeper into my story because I do get a lot of questions about that. So look for a podcast just on, you know, how I got my start. That will be coming. All right, so my first big mistake was, number one, I didn't always have a clear plan for the business, and I didn't take enough time to look at the big picture. I think I fell into the trap that many of us do of working in the business every single day, working, to the point where you're so busy with the day-to-day, you forget to back up and ask yourself, why am I even in this? Why did I start this business? What am I doing? Are the actions that I'm taking every single day getting me towards a goal? Or do I even have a goal? You know, I didn't even put any trust back then in truly setting goals, financial goals, personal goals, you know, anything. I just worked all the time. And so there's 5 questions that I would probably encourage myself, my young Jane self, and you to ask yourself and to schedule time in your schedule to ask, okay? The first one is, why am I doing this? Why did I start this business? What's my big vision, okay? The second one, how does my business fit with my life? I think when I started, I was 25 years old, and I didn't think I had a choice in this one. Can I really design my business around my life? That's not something that I considered at the time, which I certainly consider now. Number 3, what are my personal financial goals? Seriously sit down and say, how much do you need to make to feel comfortable? What can you get by on the first few years? What would you like to make? And what's your sort of pie in the sky number? And put all 3 of those down. And so I would take some time to write these things down. The 4th question I would ask myself, my young self, and I encourage you to ask yourself today, is how can I truly add value, add beauty, add a little something special in some small way to my customer's life? Am I enhancing her life or his life in some way? And what is it? Because that's the really fun part. Number 5, where is the crossover between what I want to create, what I love to make, and what people actually want to buy? What will people give me money for? And how does that relate to what I really want to do? because if I really want to just create, you know, something all day long, but nobody wants to buy it, then that is a hobby. And I think we're all in this to make money and to have a business. And if you're not and you're in it for a hobby, then go on, man. Enjoy it. No worries. But if this is the business, then there has to be a melding between what you really love to do and what people will pay you money for. And I really feel like I could have been a lot more honest with myself about everything, okay? So making a plan, even if I did make a plan, I think I was putting down things that I thought should be my goals, but maybe really truly weren't if I gave myself a chance to think about it. So being honest about every little thing, about what you want to achieve, about how you want your business to look like, and honestly, be honest about your numbers. This was a big mistake. I used to fudge my cost sheets. I know I did. I would do it, you know, 90% correct, and then they'd be like, oh, you know, that fabric came from France, and it was $40 a yard plus duty, but you know what? Next time if I do it, it'll be much higher. I'll get more yardage, and the price will go down, so I'll just put that down on the cost sheet, right? Other times I'd say, oh, you know I got those buttons retail at M&J, but next time I won't do that, and they won't be $1.50 a piece, so I'll just put down the price that it'll be next time. These kinds of cheating about your numbers is a really bad idea, and I did it for years. I'm just putting that out there. I did it for years. And the other thing I would do is start being honest about what scares the heck out of you in your business and really even in your life. And start to think about and decide if you want success more than you want to play it safe. For instance, are you willing to fail? Are you willing to possibly look foolish, risk embarrassment, bad reviews, a collection that doesn't go over? Do you want to not be failing in any way so badly that you don't go for things that you could? Because I know that I think fear, the more and more I do this, the more fear I feel plays a big role in how we all run our businesses. And so I encourage you to start being honest with yourself about that. And just knowing that you have the fear, sometimes that can almost take it away or at least lessen it so you can move forward. All right, the second big mistake was being a wuss about my pricing. Like I said, I fudged and cheated on my costing sheets, and I also wasn't always very confident in my pricing when I first started out. As I mentioned, I was only 25 when I opened up my shop and I started my line. There's total advantages to being this young. You know, when you're in that life stage that I was in, I only had to worry about myself. I didn't have any dependents. I didn't have two kids like I have now, two houses, two husbands, not at the same time. But I had just me. So I could live on the cheap, and I was willing to do that, right? So that was an awesome thing. I lived in a pretty dingy studio with a view of the police parking lot. And I ate a lot. I mooched off my friends. I borrowed my sister's car, and I could do things like that. I really didn't have much to lose at the time. And I also figured if it didn't work out, I could always waitress. So that was my life stage, all right? I bootstrapped everything. I had a lot of free workers, friends that would do things for beer, and they would paint and everything. The disadvantages of being so young was that I didn't have a lot of experience, and I made an awful lot of mistakes with my time, my energy, and my money. I couldn't get a loan for the business because I had no collateral. You know, I couldn't fund it properly. And I also feel like being 25, I had the life view of a 25-year-old. You know, I kind of thought my reality was everyone's reality. And I don't think I was as open to see how other people had a different way of living than I did, okay? And this played into my costing and pricing. So when I was pricing my line, I couldn't imagine that somebody would pay more for something than I would, right? So I thought the market would bear certain amount of pricing that I saw my friends or my sister or even my mom paying for things. And the fact that I maybe wouldn't spend $300 for a dress and my friends wouldn't pay for that either, I think I thought nobody would. I mean, logically, I knew they did that at Neiman Marcus, but I didn't think they would pay it for mine, okay? So I made a big mistake in that I put my values on other people. I assumed they would think, that's outrageous, you shouldn't pay $350 for a dress, when the fact is lots of people feel that's a perfectly okay price, and I do now because I'm older, okay? So I think that this is a real issue that holds a lot of us back, which is putting our values on somebody else, okay? So and not to mention that when you're first starting out, it's really hard to have that real deep down in your core, in your gut, the confidence in your product, okay? So when I first started, I picked, I priced things that would give people, quote, a good deal. And I see clients doing this and designers doing this every single week. They just want to give them a good deal. And on some level, all of us play this little game in our heads. At least I think every designer I know does. So maybe you do too. We have this little dialogue going on. Is my product really worth it? How about this? I'll just price it low and get a following, and then I'll raise my prices later as I make a name for myself. Have you said that to yourself, huh? How about this? Who would pay blank for my stuff if, you know, who do I think I am? I'm not going to hang next to this designer or this brand. I'm new. They would never pay the same for mine, okay? Now, part of that I'm not going to say is untrue, but most of it is in our heads, okay? So here's what you can do to avoid this costing, pricing, all between the ears kind of dilemma. The first thing is to honestly use a really good cost sheet. Trust the numbers. Don't do what I did and fudge the numbers so they look better. The second thing is to price your products no matter what to make a profit. If you price low with the intention of raising your prices later, trust me when I tell you, you'll risk having to find a whole new customer base, because the people who want to buy your product at price A are not often the same people who will buy it at price B, your new pricing, which means you'll have to go out and find new people who are comfortable with that higher price, and you've wasted all that time attracting the wrong customer. The third thing that you want to do to avoid costing pricing problems is do some real research on who your competitors are and make a grid listing each company. What are their competitive advantages? What are the disadvantages? And what is their pricing? A lot of times I hear designers saying, well, my competitors are priced like this, but I'm going to come in priced like this, which is a much lower price. And I ask them why. And they say, well, because I'm new. Well, is that really a good enough reason to not make a profit, right? So luckily for me, like 2 days before I was opening my business, an industry insider who had been helping me, she worked for a not-for-profit in Chicago, and she came in the store to see how things were going. I was opening in 2 days. She looked around. She said, oh, Jane, the clothes are beautiful. Everything looks great. But I got to tell you, you are selling these clothes at wholesale prices. You'll be out of business in 6 months. And I completely freaked out. I listened to her. I repriced everything. I doubled the prices from wholesale to what they should have been. And I just held my breath like crazy for my grand opening party, praying that people would still buy the clothes at these new high prices. They did, and I was in business until I sold it 14 years later. So it worked. But it was really, really scary. All right, the third big mistake I did was I had a major league superwoman attitude. I was of the mindset that I really should be doing it myself. I was a major micromanaging manager. I did think I could do everything a little better, I think. I really thought that. Like, I had that real limiting idea that I'm broke, I can't hire anybody, I have to do all this myself, I should learn it. And I know that if I were starting over with my wholesale line again today in my retail store, I would do things very, very different. I didn't always pay for expert advice. For instance, I started doing my own payroll because I looked at the price of the payroll service and I was like, oh, how hard could it be? I'll just learn it and do it. You know, that didn't work out well. I got huge fines for doing it wrong, which, you know, one major fine, as I'm sure you've noticed, if you do your payroll wrong and you don't pay on time, they slap you so high it paid for like half a year's payroll service. So I think I had this attitude of I have to do it myself. I was a bit of a workaholic. I also thought that if something's easy, that it's probably wrong. Have you ever felt that way? If it's easy, it must be something you're doing wrong. So if I didn't have to kill myself to get it, maybe I'm not working hard enough, right? And later, you know, I changed my mind on these types of things. I figured sometimes I started to think, okay, I can do this myself in about 10 hours, or I could spend $300 on somebody to do this and sell enough in those 10 hours to cover what I just paid that person. And so as the years went by, I adopted that attitude, and that has paid off like crazy, okay? So then the more I do it, the more I just do what I'm really good at, my creative genius work, I would call it, and not that I'm a genius, but things that I'm good at and things that are money, you know, things that make money. I've also adopted a line, perfect is good, but done is better. And honestly, that has helped me so much to just remember, perfect is good, but done is better. When you're a perfectionist, you don't always do things. You know, you don't take a lot of risks. You don't put stuff out there fast enough. So I really feel that a lot of us, you know, it's really kind of based on fear. It was for me. I would just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait till everything was completely perfect because I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted to do a great job. I wanted to please people. But really, it slowed me down and it stopped me from taking enough risks in my business. And anybody who knows me real well, any of you listening, you'll say, oh my gosh, Jane, you've always been a risk taker. And I have. I have. I know that. But I also know I could have done it a lot more, which would have been better for my business. So that is today's topic, all right? So the three biggest mistakes. Number one, I didn't always have a clear plan and take enough time to look at the big picture. Number two was, what's number two? Oh, yes, being a wuss about my pricing, getting caught up in the fear of things and lying about the cost sheets. Number three was having a superwoman attitude. So let me ask you this. I'm thinking of doing a series like this, my 3,000 biggest mistakes, you know, design regarding hiring, sales, marketing, you know, fabric purchasing. What do you think? Leave me a comment on the blog and let me know if you'd be interested in that. It's at fashionbrainacademy.com/blog/6. fashionbrainacademy.com/blog/6. And did you like this episode? Because if you did, I would love it if you would click the like button and let me know. That would be terrific. And what are your thoughts on this? Are you playing any mental games with yourself about your pricing like I was doing? Are you acting a little bit like Superwoman, and in what way? Can you give me an example? I'd love to hear your comments on the blog underneath the podcast. Let me know. And thank you so, so much for listening. I truly do appreciate every single person who tunes in. Trust me on that. So thanks a ton. Have a wonderful day. Take care.